Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless. Back at the helm, I got this table all set. We're about to get this thing right on a Friday night, man. And everybody enjoy your weekend. Settle on in. Sports City is now underway with this roundtable. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive. Okay, the caller number is 907-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs, man. And I'm feeling some type of way. I'm feeling good on a Friday night, man. This week has been big for me, man. So y'all vibe with me, man. Sports City has been showing me a lot of support, a lot of love throughout the kitchen, man. I've been doing these shows day by day, but it don't get no better. Especially in the month of November. But I'm going to do my best, Sports City. You already know what's going on, man. Got a lot of interesting stuff to jump into. A lot of hot dishes, especially jumping into this weekend. And I feel good about a show that's about to take place tomorrow. We will have the campus tailgate back in the kitchen. That's right. I got a new host. A different host, old face. You know what I'm saying? Like I got Slim Jim back in the building. So Slim Jim will be my co-host tomorrow. So any college football, college basketball, we got y'all. Sports City, we're back. So let me get this show rolling, calling in by way of the state of Michigan. My brother, my co-host, my inspiration, I can't even lie, even though we go at it every single day, like Tom and Jerry. Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nasha Domus, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm still doing better than Martin Mayhew.
You know what? And this is good. This is real good, Chandler. Like I'm actually coming out of my shirt. I ain't even gonna lie. I'm in my white tee now that I get to really come out of the blazer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel good because this is the roundtable. I get to talk about everything. So last night somebody brought that topic up, and I really was just raw emotion to the situation. I get to talk about that tonight. So you buckle up. And Sports City, I'm not even gonna lie. I was the one that was given Mayhew some credit, some leeway. Chandler was the one saying, I don't know how he keeps his job. I don't know how he keeps his job. So I feel good about this one. I got Tommy here in the building. Tommy, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good.
Okay, the first topic I want to jump into is the Thursday night football game with the Browns and the Bengals, the Battle of Ohio, part one. Because there is two parts to this, because they play each other twice within the division. But I'm tired of playing this game here. I'm not even going to play this game any longer. The Bengals are 8-0 right now, playing some inspired football, and I think the turn of the second half was where everything turned around for the Bengals, because the Browns kept it somewhat interesting in the first half. But, I mean, there's two different ways you could go about this with the Browns in general. Tommy, I'll let you start this one off first. Your thoughts on the Bengals. I want to go to the Bengals first because it seems like I'm including us in the situation too. We overlooked them as well as everybody else that's, you know, analyzing or fans of the game. They overlook what the Bengals are doing. They're halfway through the season, and they are unbeaten at this point. Your thoughts on the Cincinnati Bengals?
They're good. Defensively? Offensively, Andy Dalton is stepping up. He's not making that stupid throw yet. And I've said yet. A.J. Green, balling out. A.J. Green's, I mean, you got to say A.J. Green's got to be in the top three top receivers in the league, if not at least top five. They're running the ball. They've got good offensive line. I want to see them play New England. I'm really hoping they play New England in the playoffs. I want to. That's when you'll get your test with them.
And I really feel like this is a situation where that's the only place that they're going to meet up. But depending on who runs the table and what, it's how this thing is going to get lined up. Both are in questionable divisions because the AFC East, well, let's think about it. Buffalo is going to play an inspired game up against the Patriots. So are the Jets. I mean, even though we'll hear different from Chandler on that situation, I feel the Jets will actually give them an interesting game, depending on what Fitzpatrick looks like, especially with his thumb injury and so on and so forth. But that defense plays Tom well, especially their next game being in New Jersey also. They might lose a game before that. Who knows? But that division plays them well. And we can't really count out the AFC North. I mean, they still have Pittsburgh there. They're going to play Cleveland again also. I mean, there are some teams. And who's to say Baltimore doesn't come and play ball again? I wonder what they're going to do without Steve Smith. But Steve Smith has been the only bright spot in their receiving game. Flacco's going to have to get this done and prove why he is a $100 million quarterback. But just seeing how these things do pan out, I am going to go over this schedule after Chandler goes. Chandler, your thoughts on both teams. One, the Bengals. Oh, we do have a caller with you before you go, Chandler. I'm going to get Mr. Silver in the building. Ignacio, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, you know, trying to get over the week, but feeling all right. Just getting real quick in here. I heard the discussion. I heard the question going straight about the Bengals. To be honest, it's all about January. They could go 16-0 through the regular season, but if they finish the year 16-1, no one's going to talk about the historic 16-0 run they did. They're going to talk about Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton showing up short in the playoffs. So when it comes to the Bengals, why everyone is quote-unquote overlooking them, is because with the talented roster that they have, I don't think 8-0, but 7-1, it was expected for this team. You know, 8-0 is a little bit, you know, it's 8-0. You know, you're undefeated halfway through your schedule. That's a great accomplishment for any team, no matter who you are. But as for goes for the Bengals, they were supposed to be winning. They were supposed to be ahead of this division, and they're supposed to make the playoffs. All that matters for Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis is a playoff victory. Without that, the regular season is null and void and irrelevant.
Okay, Chandler, while we get that situation to calm down behind Nacho, this is going to be an epic rant. If you, I don't even want to call it a rant, but I want to say how he will analyze the situation. Now, Chandler, I want to talk about the Bengals first. Even though I want to go about both of these teams, and I know you feel a certain way about the Browns and Patton and, you know, the quarterback dilemma. I want you to break into all of that situation. But Marvin Lewis, a coach you do not like, Andy Dalton, a quarterback that you do not like, and the Cincinnati Bengals are now 8-0 at this point in time in the season. Your thoughts on how they've been able to play great football up until this point?
Well, I'm not going to say they play great football, but they've won all their games. Great football means they should have blown the Browns out last night. That was a game until the second half. Great football, they should have lost the Steelers game if Ben Roethlisberger does a better job on that fourth down play. So, and you know, ifs and couldas and wouldas and shouldas, but they won all their games. I'm not sold on the Bengals. But what they're doing in the regular season is great. It's the first time in that franchise history. They were 7-0, first time they're 8-0. I don't know what their schedule is, but I don't see a loss in the next 2 weeks for them. I think they'll wind
okay,
up.
Hold on. I'm going to give you the next eight games for the Cincinnati Bengals. They got the Texans at home, which it should be winnable depending on what Texan team shows up. Then you got the Cardinals. And this is in Arizona, so that's a tough game for them. And that could be where the buck stops. But you said in the next 2 weeks, so the Cardinals are the second game after this week. You got the Rams, you have the Browns again, the Steelers again, the Niners, the Broncos, and they finish the season up against the Ravens.
Wow. I only see two losses in their tops. I see 14-2, and I'm calling the Arizona game a loss, but we all know the Cardinals, listen, that team is Jekyll Hyde. And Carson Palmer is you know, an older version of Andy Dalton, which means that at the most inopportune moment, he's going to throw a big pick. So I don't really can't even count the Cardinal game as a loss for the Bengals because we don't know which Arizona team will show up. But I think they'll be 10-0 after the next 2 weeks. I don't think they lose a game until game 11. I don't even know who it is, but I think they lose that game. But I think they win the next two games. And at that point, I think that's when all the talk about undefeated and this and that, you know, because they got some guys on their team who like to chirp. You know, Vontaze Burfict and all that. And by the way, Vontaze Burfict, maybe you should shut up and concentrate on not getting a concussion before you want to start getting a Twitter beef with people. It's just a suggestion. You know, you do what you want, but I'm just suggesting maybe you try to make it through an entire season without a concussion before you start getting a Twitter beef with people. You know, but, you know, the Bengals are doing what they're supposed to do in that division and against the team they've played. They've won. So congratulations to them, you know.
But you see, what I'm wondering is, say they are undefeated going into that last week against Baltimore. Does Marvin Lewis go for the undefeated season, or does he rest everybody for the following week for the playoffs?
He has to go for the undefeated season. He has to. You have no choice there. You can't purposely lose that game. You just can't. You can't. So, and he's in a no-win situation at that point. Because if somebody gets hurt in that game, they can say, what were you doing? That game, it was for a record, but it was meaningless. If he plays everybody, somebody gets hurt, he's going to get killed. If he rests everybody, he's going to get killed. That's a no-win situation.
But with Cincinnati, though, it's not like and right now, everything is historic right now. The first 7-0, first 8-0, so anything you do from here on out is historic as it pertains to the Bengals organization. And 16-0 isn't a mark that hasn't already been gotten. It's not like it's, you know, some threshold that someone's gotten there. Patriots got there already. So it's not like if they're trying to go 16-0, it's something that's never been done before. Yeah, never in Bengals history. But if they're 15-0, that's never been done before in Bengals history. So 15-1, and you know, not necessarily throwing the game, but if you're in a nail biter and you're seeing your guys out there getting laid out, you know, you start sitting people towards the end of that game if it looks like it's a close one, because you don't want to get injuries. You're already 15-0 at that point. You've got the division sewn up. You've got one, possibly two. Two, possibly one locked up. So I understand what you're saying, but for the Bengals, it's not as if 16-0 is a mark that's not been achieved before. So I don't know if it's a must win at that point.
Well, it is, because regardless of what people might think, the only magic number in football is 16-0. Baseball has certain magic numbers. In football, there's only one, 16-0. There's only one, 16-0. That's the magic number in football, and every franchise aspires to get that number. Every franchise does. So, I mean, people, listen, the only reason anybody knows who Mercury Morris is because of 16-0. Because let's be honest, Mercury Morris wasn't some great, outstanding running back, okay? That's why they had three guys in Miami, all right? So 16-0 is a big deal. It's a big deal for players. It's a big deal for coaches. It's a big deal for an organization. If they're 15-0, he's going to have to go for it. He's going to have to. Because if he doesn't, listen, you see people talking bad about them now.
Plus, I think the other thing as a lost factor is that I think that would be a letdown to the team, knowing that they could be the one that could run the table and go perfect. What if it's a situation that they do win the Super Bowl and they let a team win week 16? You know what I'm saying? Like, all of the what-if factors. So I don't think they take their foot off the pedal. I think they play the competitive football nature that they've been able to do up until this point. But they do have a rocky end of their schedule. And plus, I think, what is it, week 16? Yes, week 16, they play the Broncos in Denver. That game is in Denver, where The Broncos are unbeaten, and the way that that defense has been playing, I think that's another true test for Andy Dalton. If Andy Dalton could actually do well up until that Bronco game, he's playing up against the number one defense. If he could score more than one touchdown, because that's the knock that's been against him, especially in the postseason, is that he's been only been able to get a score a game in the postseason. If he can go into that game and get some scores on the board, I believe in what Andy Dalton is doing this season. I really will, especially to go shot for shot with Peyton Manning. I have to. There's no way I could bow out away from that.
Yeah, and I know right now it's a lot of ifs and whats, but I honestly believe that if this team goes 14-2 and makes the Super Bowl, that it would be more revered than a 16-0 team that loses the divisional round. I just don't see this team being 16-0, losing that first game divisional round, being more revered than a team that would go 14-2 and make the Super Bowl. I just think this team wouldn't be in the Super Bowl thinking, man, I wish we would have won week 14-17 because now we could be in the Super Bowl 18-0. I just think they would be ecstatic to have won two playoff games, something they doubly no one said they could do, and now they're in the Super Bowl. So I just don't see, you know, the 16-0 being a big harp. And I know it's that magic number, but if they got an opportunity to win playoff games and make a Super Bowl, I don't think they're worried about a week 16 or 17 game if they're playing Super Bowl Sunday.
I don't understand how they're not revered as being a 16-0 team.
Because if you're a team, because this is the Bengals. The Bengals need to win his playoff game. They don't need to go 16-0. That's the point. That's why no one's talking about it right now.
Here's what I'm going to try to tell you, though. This is what I want to tell you. Who in their right mind wants to lose? Anything.
No, I'm not saying
answer my question,
lose,
man. I'm not trying to sit here and go back and forth with you. Answer my question, man. Who wants to lose anything? Do you want to lose? Were you happy that Green Bay lost this week?
If it's a learning experience and we can grow from it, what's the hurt in losing in the regular season?
Yes,
you know it's going to pay off in the playoffs.
Yes or no question, man. Stop it.
No.
Yes or no.
No.
Okay. You didn't want to lose. You think Aaron Rodgers was happy with losing and say, you know what, I'm going to look forward to this in the Super Bowl, take a loss right now. You think he wanted to do that?
Twist the words you want, bro.
Twist the words
you want.
Hold on. Why is the picture painted differently for you, but it's not the same for Andy Dalton? And just this fact. And I hate to give him credit right here on Sports City. I'm not even giving him credit. I'm just going to give him the word that he did say. Is that Skip Bayless came out there and said, Aaron Rodgers ain't that good. You think this situation that he wasn't there ever that he ain't every time he
That you would bring that up makes no sense, but okay. The fact of the matter is, if the Bengals go 16-0 and lose the first game of the playoffs, what's so good about it? Tell me what's good about it. Tell me what's so good about another Bengals team winning all these regular season games, going into the playoffs again, and winning no playoff games. They're not going to be looked at as this great 16-0 team. They're going to be looked at as another Bengals team that couldn't do anything. Come on now. They don't really care about 16-0. They care about winning playoff games and the Super Bowls. They don't want. It doesn't matter to them if they're 16-0. Are they on a high horse right now because they're 8-0? Yes. But I guarantee you, if they would have lost last night, they're not sitting there going, man, I hope that, you know, we can beat the Browns again. I hope we can beat them later in the year. They're 7-1, a mark they still have never been in the history of the Bengals. So, you know, it's irrelevant to sit here and say that a 16-0 Bengals team that doesn't win a playoff team is going to be revered, because they're not. Because everyone looks at this team as being a non-playoff winning team.
I can't wait to hear
you. You're wrong. You know why you're wrong? Because one of the things about last night's game was the Bengals always lost in prime time. One of the things about last night's game that was a stepping stone for them was proving that they could win, when the lights were bright. But Andy Dalton has had some of his worst games in prime time. And something that they talked about after the game last night was this was another stepping stone for them. So had they lost that game last night, yeah, they would have had to hear, see, told you, same old Bengals, because prime time came, and even if they go 16-0, even if they lose in the divisional round, for Bengals fans, Oh, hell yeah. They will love that team forever.
See, the big key so far is they've had no major injuries. A.J. Green is staying healthy so far.
Yeah.
That's a big key because A.J.'s been hurt here and there. He's not hurt yet.
Okay, Taylor, I want to go on the other side of the board. I want to hear what you had to speak on the Cleveland Browns.
Well, last night's game was proof positive to me that Mike Pettine, Johnny Manziel's in the same situation with his coach that Robert Griffin is in with Jay Gruden. At halftime of the game last night, this was after Johnny Manziel had made all the plays that he made were where he kept the play alive, getting out of pocket or just scrambling around a little bit and making some throws. Very few of his completions came with him doing a three-step drop, standing in the pocket, or five-step drop, standing in the pocket, and throwing the ball, okay? Here's what Mike Pettine says. Well, yeah, Johnny's made some plays out of the pocket, but what we want to keep him in the pocket. Now, this is his own coach saying that. It's not the Bengals saying that. It's not the Bengals, not the Bengals defensive coordinator, not the Bengals defensive player saying, hey, we got to keep this guy out of the pocket because all the plays he's making are out of the pocket. This is his own coach. His own coach basically defended Johnny Manziel better than the Bengals defense did. Because in the second half of the game, if you notice, Johnny didn't run around very much. Because they told him, you got to stay in the pocket. I don't know what Mike Pettine's problem. Well, I told you Mike Pettine's an idiot when they hired him. I told you that. He is so bound and determined to prove that he can win with this bum Josh McCown. Okay? And before anybody tells me, well, they said a better chance of Josh McCown losing, what was Josh McCown put up? They were up 20-6 against Arizona, I believe, last week. How'd that game end up?
Mm-hmm.
They ended up with 20 points on the board. Josh McCown has won one game. That's either 2-6. That's 8 games. Johnny started 2, right? So Josh McCown is 1-5 as a starter. Johnny Manziel is 1-1. So how does McCown give you a better chance to win? Johnny's 500. McCown is under 500. He's about 100. Because when you start talking winning percentages. So how in the hell does McCown give you a better shot to win? Here's what Pettine says after the game. Well, we got to see who's healthy next week, and then we'll decide. He is dying on the hill of Josh McCown, which doesn't make sense. And don't tell me he's trying to save his job. If he was trying to save his job, Johnny Manziel would be starting. Man, when Manziel is on the field with that team, and you guys have seen as well as I have, in a little bit against the Jets, but in that next game when he started, and in the first half last night, that team looks different. The players look like they want to play. They look excited and energized. And I'm not saying Johnny Manziel is some great quarterback, not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's going to lead them to a Super Bowl. But I'm saying he's a damn sight better than Josh McCown. And Mike Pettine refuses to play him. Mike Pettine is Jay Gruden, except he's in Cleveland. And I don't understand that, because how do you continue to tell me that you don't want to play this kid? He's shown you that he's improved. He's shown you that he can make, yes, he can only make the splash plays right now. You know what? Splash plays can win you a game. Ask the Oakland Raiders, okay? Anybody watch the Raiders this year? They won a few games just with none of the damn splash plays. So why can't Manziel get a shot in Cleveland?
Okay, Tommy, I'm going to come to you next. Your thoughts on your division rival, the team that you guys stole originally from Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns, and the situation that they're having all across the board. I mean, their defensive injuries without Hayden, and offensively they can't really figure out who's going to be the captain that leads this ship. And especially with Duke being there also, I mean, that's another thing too. But your thoughts on the Browns altogether?
Where do I start? They need to figure out, like Chandler says, who they want to quarterback the team and stick with them. Stop this, well, maybe this guy, maybe this, maybe this, maybe that. Pick one guy, put him in there. They need to learn to spend money on some players. Stop getting these. I can't say because they're all good, because you're playing pro ball for a reason. But some superstars on that team. They got to get a head coach that knows what the hell he's doing. I mean, that's why the whole reason why Art Mardell, the city doesn't really, yeah, they got fans, but the city doesn't really support them. Why do you think they moved out of Cleveland and went to Baltimore? It's just a dumpster fire up there, over there in Cleveland. It always will be.
Master, your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns, everything that's going on with their quarterback dilemma? Do they go back to McCown again, or do they stick with Johnny? Because Johnny is more of the quarterback that's going to be the future for them, unless they end up picking up another quarterback. Because let's be honest, McCown is 34 years old. He's up there in age. He's not tomorrow for this Browns team.
You know, I heard, you know, there was a Halloween decoration with the boneyard of the Cleveland Browns quarterback since Tim Couch, and someone said, I think it was a little preemptive to put, you know, Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel out there, but I don't think it was. I think it was, you know, pretty accurate. And to Tommy's point, to pick one and play one, they have picked one. The problem is he sucks and he always gets injured in Josh McCown. So when that happens, you know, you got to play the younger guy and Johnny Manziel. The problem with the Browns is they try to put him in every situation possible for him to lose, and for some reason he won that first game, and they didn't like it. So they come out, they put him against the 7-0 Bengals, and in that first half, I believe it's 11-for-19, 100 some yards, a touchdown, and they were down, I think, 17-10. Uh-oh. Johnny Manziel looks like he might steal one from the Bengals if we continue to play the way we're playing in the first half. So let's do exactly what Chandler said. Let's do what the head coach did, not what anyone on the Bengals said to do. Let's do what the head coach said to do and keep Johnny Manziel in the pocket. Not only did the Bengals do a great job defensively by playing Johnny Manziel in the pocket, but also the Browns head coach did an awesome or even more excellent defensive job against Johnny Manziel. By telling him to stay inside that pocket and not to run out of it and not to try to make anything happen. So it's just, you know, the dumpster fire that is the Clown College of Cleveland. I don't know whether it's cleaning house. I don't know whether what you could do, how you could do it. But, you know, Johnny does need to find a quarterback, not a quarterback, a coach that wants him, a team that wants him around. And not to say that the Cleveland Browns don't want him, because Chandler – not only hit it on the head a couple of times, but in that aspect, he hit it directly on the head. When he comes in the game, whether it be off the bench or starting, that offensive unit just looks like they want to play football. It looks like they want to be out there. It looks like they want to put on that uniform and beat Cleveland Browns. And when he's not out there, it looks like they just could give a dang, and they could just care less what the score is or how their performance looks on tape. They need to figure out who was more important, Johnny Manziel and his progression, or Mike Patton and his opinions of what he feels about himself. And as of this far, it's been Mike Patton. So, you know, we're gonna see this again. They're gonna be a top 12 pick, maybe top 10 pick in the draft next year, and they'll probably pick a quarterback. This is one of those things that, they've been really trying hard since, I believe, 99. And it's not just this regime. It's been multiple regimes and GMs and coaches and general managers and presidents and everyone you can think of. They have failed repeatedly picking a quarterback in the first round. And it just doesn't work first, second, whenever. They just can't find one. So I don't know what it's going to be or how they get one. But these two guys they have right now, the one guy, like I said, he sucks and he can't win you a game, and the other guy's never going to get a solid chance to win you a game, because once he's got a good hat going, his own head coach will ruin the game plan and install it all. So the Cleveland Browns need to figure out what's going on. I don't know how they do it precisely, but it really starts with Mike Pettine. He's either got to go or you got to give him exactly what he wants, because this whole game of Josh or Johnny, it's not working at all.
This is an open request to Jimmy Haslam and Martha Ford. For a third of what you've paid, I'm going to pay the next moron you hire. I could do a damn sight better job, and I guarantee you I get you in the playoffs in 2 years.
We're going to get there. We are going to get there. Just relax. I promise you, Chad, I will talk about my team, okay? Okay, I will get there. I will get there. First, before I do it, Tommy, is Mike Patton there after this season, yes or no?
I'll say no.
Nacho, is he there, yes or no?
Yes, he is, sadly.
Chandler, what is your last on this to break the tiebreaker? Does he keep his job at the end of this season?
I don't know on this one because I can't really read the tea leaves on this, but unfortunately, I think he keeps his job.
Wow, Mike, Sports City's on your side. Sports City is on your side. Okay. Chandler leaves me no choice, and the crazy thing about it is I have to speak on this situation. Now, ultimately, if you are under a rock or have not been watching football for the past 8 weeks, the Lions have started out 1-7, and they just previously got rid of Joseph Lombardi. Now this week, Martha Ford steps up and not only goes after Tom Lewan, the president, but also the general manager and Martin Mayhew. Now, Chandler Knight has been here for at least a year and a half, 2 years, and it's become a slogan for him. No lie, Sports City, no lie. He would come out and say, I don't know how Martin Mayhew holds on to his job. Like, what does he have to do to completely blow this thing up? I'm going to just go to work, mess up, and then it's acceptable. And game after game, season after season, this stuff has been going on. And Martha Ford actually pulls the plug on both of them at the same time and have them leaving the city of Detroit. Chandler, I think I get to let you go last on this one because I think this could be an epic rant. Nacho, I'll let you set this one off first. Mayhew and Lewan, these two have kind of been tied together ever since the Matt Millen deal, are both out of Detroit right now.
You know, with the Joe Lombardi firing, you figured that would probably be all. You think that they would just let it ride to the end of the season and then you would clean house then. You figure just as looking at it from the outside, I figured the Lombardi firing was a quick response and something to get the attention of the other guys to say, wake up, you got the rest of the year to figure this out and get right the ship, or you're going to get what Lombardi got. I didn't realize, the end of the year meant next week. The thing about it is you wait until it's so late in the week. You don't do it all at the same time you do Lombardi. I don't understand it. I figured they would, you would do it all at once. It wouldn't be sprinkled. It just shows too much of a knee-jerk reaction. It shows too much of a you don't know what you're doing type of reaction to try and – it felt like to scare who only person you really have left to scare, which is Jim Caldwell. And I don't understand why you would have to scare that gentleman. He knows all about it. So I don't understand it right now. I would definitely, I guess understand again. I would understand it if it happened at the end of the year. You clean house, you leave Caldwell and let him try to, run it. Whether or not it's a situation like Philly, where it was between the head coach and the GM, and actually the head coach and Chip Kelly won,
So this is this going to be where Jim Caldwell becomes the de facto GM and gets to bring in, you know, what happens with that unless they bring another one in? I'm just really curious to see, you know, how they handle Jim. If they give him more of a if they handle Caldwell, give him more of a hand in the cookie jar, if they cut him out more and just, you know, put the writing on the wall that he's next if another loss comes. Because right now, if they lose another game and it's a bad loss, like this team is quitting, with what you've been recently doing, I don't see how Caldwell keeps his job again for another week by what we're seeing. So if this team displays any ounce of a Miami where they just quit, Miami Dolphins, I guess it works both for the Hurricanes and the Dolphins, but if they show anything of a I quit on the Jim Caldwell in this next game and they get blown out, I fully anticipate Monday Jim Caldwell's hat being in the firing just by the knee-jerk reactions of what we've seen so far. Dumpster fire, first pick in the draft, totally blew me away, unexpected. It's just a bunch of things, the superlatives you can put negatively to this team that at the beginning of the year, I don't think anyone in their right mind saw coming.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the status of Detroit and how everything is crumbling in the state of Michigan right now, at least for the football team?
I'm shocked as how bad they are this year. I really look for them to – I look for the Ford family to really tear this team apart. I don't see Matthew Stafford back next year. There's already reports, if you watch ESPN, NFL Network, that Stafford could be out by next year, and they just start all over. Well, if that's the case, if you get rid of Matthew Stafford, are you trading Megatron away too then? I mean, that – I have no clue. I'm like, Nacha, I'm shocked with everything that's going on. Shocked.
What,
okay,
you know
Chandler.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, go ahead, Nacho. Go ahead, and I'm going to go to Chandler.
No, he just brings up an interesting point because – The writing on the wall for Matthew Stafford could be heir apparent. If this team has the number one pick next year and they pick a quarterback, we already know what's happening to Matthew Stafford. But he brings up a great point because the Matthew Stafford question could be answered day one of the draft.
Okay, Chandler, I know this is a moment that you've been waiting for, and I basically was just waiting for it to happen. This happened mid-season for the Detroit Lions. I think he could go no further than messing this up and having it close to just being a beyond repair situation for this 2015-16 season. Your thoughts on LeJuan and Mayhew, both out of Detroit?
Well, I think the reason it happened now is I think Martha Ford wanted to see if the general manager and his boss were going to make some changes. For instance, the Cleveland Browns were giving away damn near their entire offensive line. And we all know the Detroit Lions need offensive line help, and no changes were made. If you want to go young, listen, Calvin Johnson might be not the same Megatron, but he's still a pretty good guy. You could have got a high draft pick for Calvin Johnson. Didn't move Calvin Johnson. They did nothing. They stood pat on a team that's won one game. You can't stand pat when your team has won one game. The only Patriots have made three trades this year. They're 7-0, and they've made three trades. Now, if you want to know somebody should be standing pat, it's them. They already made trades. Other teams made trades. The Lions did nothing. How in the hell are you 1-7? You need offensive line help because your offensive line is trash. Trash. The Cleveland Browns, I'm saying, anyone who listen will give you Alex Mack and Joe Thomas. Make us an offer. We'll take any offer. Matter of fact, anybody you want is available. The only player not available from Cleveland was Joe Hayden. And that's only, I think, because he was injured. And they knew he was injured. and then he got hurt in the game. But listen, everybody was available, and they did nothing. So they deserve to be fired. I'm glad they got fired. I'm a Jet fan, but there's certain franchises in sports that I have a level of respect for, and I expect the people who run them to understand the history of those franchises, their place in the games, and to do the job accordingly. And Trent Lyons been around since the 40s. This is a cornerstone NFL franchise, whether people remember that or not. Okay? Names like Night Train Lane, okay, played for this team. How dare you not do anything, man? Listen, the 2010-2011 drafts, not one player from those drafts is on this team. When you have a draft, 2 to 3 years down the line, you should see the fruits of that draft. So you're constantly replenishing. Not one player. Not one player. How in the hell can you have 2 years of drafts and not be able to find one guy to stick for 3 years? Not one. Hell, long snapper. You're going to get a long snapper, a punter, anybody. Not one. Not one. Matthew Stafford didn't suddenly forget how to play football, by the way. He didn't suddenly fall off a cliff, bump his head, and forget how to play football. This kid can play some football if you do what you're supposed to do and do what the Cowboys finally did with Tony Romo. Ty, I've been saying this for how many years? Take the ball out of his hands in crunch time. Get him a running game and watch Matthew Stafford lead that team to a couple of playoff wins, where he's not throwing the ball more than 25 times a game. How did that work out for Tony Romo last year in the Cowboys? Pretty damn good. That's all they've ever had to do for Stafford. Give him a running game and an offensive line. They chose not to. They bring in Jim Caldwell, who I can't stand. And when they hired him, I told Ty he was the wrong guy for this job. So I'm not second-guessing. I first-guessed this when they hired the man. And I said, he's the wrong guy. He's the wrong guy. And he's the wrong guy for this team. This team was built for Jim Schwartz, a fiery guy. You got rid of all of the personality of this team. You brought in a milquetoast coach. And now you have a milquetoast team. You have a bland team. And not for nothing, with players who really don't give a damn because the coach doesn't appear to give a damn. Jim, the earth just blew up. Yeah, well, you know, we just got to get better, and, you know, we'll get back to it next week where we build here. Jim, you just hit the lottery for $10 billion. Yeah, well, you know, after I spend a little bit of money, I'll just get back to it and try to win the lottery. That's the man's dude. Are you alive? Somebody put a mirror under his nose. Is he even breathing? He's the wrong guy for this team. The reason they didn't fire him is because you were the signal to players you're giving up. And Martha Ford is 90 years old. She ain't trying to hear wait until next year. She's like, listen, y'all players need to understand. We expect y'all to play hard and win. And the reason you get rid of the GM now instead of waiting until the end of the season is because you got to get – there's a draft coming. If you hire people when the season's over, they're behind the eight ball when it comes to the draft. So you start now so that probably by game 14, they'll have a new regime in place. And that regime can be that much further ahead when it comes to evaluating the talent. Because, see, by game 14, you don't know who's quit on this team. And you don't know who you got to get rid of. I personally think they should keep Matthew Stafford. I think they should get him a freaking running game and an offensive line and see what happens. For one season, can the Detroit Lions have a quarterback and a running back? You had Barry Sanders, you never gave him a quarterback. You got Matthew Stafford, you never gave him a running back. For one season, can the Detroit Lions have both a quarterback and a running back at the same damn time? Because I might not be some general manager with football connections and this and that, but I know this. I know if you give Matthew Stafford a decent offensive line and a quality running back to give it to 25 times a game, say a guy like Chris Ivory, how good does Ryan Fitzpatrick look with Chris Ivory running the way he's been running this season, by the way? Ryan Fitzpatrick looks like a new man. He ain't a new man. He has someone to give the ball to, defense has to honor. How do you think Matthew Stafford would look with, say, Chris Ivory running back there, giving him 120 yards a game? I think he looked pretty damn good then. But, you know, I don't know. I just know this. Martin Mayhew got fired because he refused to get a running back for that team. I hope the next GM learned that lesson.
Okay, before I throw this around there, Chandler, do you think Stafford is there by the end of 2015? Because that talk is true, that they think that he may be gone by the next season.
I think he's going to be there because there's some guaranteed money that they owe him. I think after 2016 season is when he has to worry if his play doesn't improve. But I think that listen. The kid is a talented quarterback. Does he make dumb decisions? Absolutely. Is he a superstar quarterback? No, he's not. Is he a guy that can get you to the playoffs and win you a couple of games? Yeah, he is, actually, in under the right circumstances. You don't just throw those guys away. Otherwise, you wind up with the Josh McCowns and Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world. Would you rather have Josh McCown or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Blaine Gabbert or Matthew Stafford? Because, see, those are your choices right now. Your choices are to go out and get a Josh McCown or a Ryan Fitzpatrick or a Blaine Gabbert or keep the guy you got who you know can throw for 5,000 yards, who you know can throw for 4,000 yards, who you know can throw for 20 touchdowns. So I think Matthew Stafford stays one more season, and that's his make-or-break season.
Nacho, do you think he remains in Detroit at the end of this season?
You know, to me, I can't give you a yes or no definitive answer. I honestly think it has to do with the draft to me. They pick a quarterback in the first round. Most evidently, there'll be a one or two pick. I think it seals the fate for Matthew Stafford, but it really has to be the draft for me. Because right now, like Chandler said, they owe him a little money. So for all intents and purposes, yes, but you know, it really has to play on the draft for me. If they get an offensive lineman, then, you know, they're, like Chandler said, they're dedicated to Matthew Stafford, and they're going to try to get him better protection. If they go quarterback, you know, Matt's gone.
Okay, I do have Matthew in the building. Matthew, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good. How you guys feeling?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on either the Detroit Lions get rid of their president and GM or the Matthew Stafford talk that he may be gone at the end of this season?
I think Matthew Stafford's a bum. As far as the GM goes, he needs to go too. The culture of losing in Detroit, they're terrible.
Okay, I just stated that the GM is gone. I don't know if you were listening to the situation. The GM and the president are gone. That's what I threw at you.
The next thing they need to do is leave Detroit.
Who are you talking about?
Just the team. The team needs to leave Detroit and go to L.A.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to move from that topic. I did want to get to a situation and see how you guys felt about the 49ers situation. Now, interesting enough, we're getting days closer to seeing Blaine Gabbert be a starter again in the NFL, and it really hasn't stuck to me. Like, yeah, like I really have to see him out there for like a half. Like, I really have to see how he is out there. But Colin comes out with a statement and says he is still going to support his team. Now, me already talking about Stafford and his situation in Detroit, where do they go from here with Colin Kaepernick? Do they keep a $100 million quarterback on the bench? That's what I'm concerned about. Matt, I'll come right back to you.
I say you got to bench Kaepernick because of the way he's played this season. And against Atlanta, you know, they're in the dumps because they lost to Tampa. You might as well try a new guy.
Okay, we did get Chandler back. Chandler, your thoughts on what do they do with Kaepernick? Are they going to move this guy? Are they going to, you know, let him learn his lesson being on that bench? Your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick?
Well, there's no lesson for him to learn because the team is terrible. This is part two of the three-phase plan of shifting the focus away from the fact that management has blown this team up and is rebuilding. Phase one, blame Harbaugh, get rid of him. Phase two, blame Kaepernick. They don't have anybody on that roster offensively who can help him become a better quarterback. No coaches, no players. They have one wide receiver, Anquan Boldin, who couldn't get separation from me, okay? They got a running back, but they have no offensive line. The defense has been gutted. Special teams is awful. And you have a high school coach as your head coach. So there's nothing for him to learn. He'll be there next year because they need one more season of blaming Kaepernick before the fans realize that the you know where the card is in this game of three card Monty, okay? Before the fans realize where the queen is. So I mean, and you need to see what from Blaine Gabbert. We all know what Blaine Gabbert is. He's proven it. He's terrible. He's proven it. Look at his track record. He has a track record. He's awful. Awful. Listen, I would take Ryan Mallett over Blaine Gabbert. Okay? That's how awful Blaine Gabbert is. I would take Ryan Mallett, I overslept, got stuck in Houston traffic on a Saturday when there is no traffic in Houston on a Saturday and missed the flight. Ryan Mallett over Blaine Gabbert. Okay? So there's nothing for him to learn. This is just another way for them to shift the focus away from the fact that they've gutted this team. And what was he supposed to say? He's playing terribly, like we all expected him to once Harbaugh left. So for him to say that, whatever. But, nah, this is just, listen, man, it's three-card Monty right now. It's three-card Monty, and the fans keep picking the wrong card.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on this situation, then I'll go to Nacho. Tommy, your thoughts on San Francisco, where they go from here with both quarterbacks being Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick?
I still stand by what I said. I think it was Tuesday or might have been Monday. I think they've got a trade out there for Kaepernick, and they want to see what they got in Gabbert. I could be wrong. But I think they're tearing and gutting this team apart.
Nacho, your thoughts on this situation, quarterback dilemma, and the San Francisco 49ers spiraling downhill also?
You know, I'm a pretty big FPI number guy, Football Power Index, and how that pertains to the game and predicting the rest of the season. And as it pertains to wins and losses, with Colin Kaepernick, they were slated to win three games, one more game for the rest of the year. And with you know, Blaine Gabbert, they're not slated to win another one, making them 2-14. So, what one game does or doesn't do when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, we talk about the big contract, the $100 million contract, and what seldom or very few times gets recognized is how easily it is for San Francisco to get out of that contract, trade him, or do anything to not have to pay him a lot of money. We sat here and talked about trades. I believe the trade deadline has come and passed. So if you've got a trade, you've got to wait till after the year is over. You don't want to put Colin Kaepernick in jeopardy. And you really don't have a winning chance with him out there anyway. So instead of putting more and more bad statistics on his resume for the end of the year, you let him sit. You let him Blaine Gabbert lose the same amount of games. You would have lost probably anyways, and you move forward in the draft. No, I do not by any means think that Blaine Gabbert is the future for San Francisco. I don't think San Francisco thinks that either. They know what they're bringing in a guy who's only won five games in, I believe,
a little over 3 years of playing football. This guy is not good. When we sat here at the beginning or earlier in the year after, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, and we said Blaine Gabbert would be a better option than Colin Kaepernick, we meant as it pertains to being a pocket passer in the offense they want to run. He's just not talented enough to run an offense and win you games. With the lack of talent and the lack of, you know, everything else on that 22-man team, offensive and defensively. So it's not like he's going to make your team better. It's not going to, you know, raise morale. So I do feel the same kind of as Tommy, as they have a trade. They probably couldn't get it done before the trade deadline. So you sit the kid, you don't hurt him. And like I said, you don't further the bad numbers for him. We talked about briefly last week or week before the Deuce Daly and the Vernon Davis confrontation and other players getting into it about Colin Kaepernick. And I think those players, yes, were getting into it, you know, about him, you know, from seeing him being able to play as well as he did and now seeing the digression he's gone through. You know, they were upset, you know, maybe at him or whatever. So, you know, there's been turmoil and there's been a lot of, you know, why is this guy our quarterback? So if you got a lot of that, you sit the kid as well, because you don't want him dealing with that and dealing with anything else. So I'm not against it. It's not as if, you know, pulling Kaepernick is going to hurt their chances anymore, you know, or hurt them from, you know, making the playoffs or anything like that. So they're still going to pick in the top three. And I think they're just kind of trying to solidify that top three pick, possibly top one, and move on from there and see what they get in that trade. Because I think the moment they can trade Colin, he's gone. And we'll see what they get for him, whether it be a quarterback and who they trade into. You know, because in my humble opinion, I think Colin Kaepernick should get ready and get a keen taste for Philly cheesesteak.
No one's trading for Kaepernick. That's the thing I don't understand why you keep saying that. No one's going to trade for him because you don't have to. You don't have to, just like nobody traded for Robert Griffin because you don't have to, because they're going to have to cut him. So if the 49ers want to get rid of Kaepernick, they have to cut him. No one's going to give them anything for him because the 49ers have no leverage. They have no leverage to say, well, if you don't, we'll keep him. And I'll say, okay, you sucked with him last year, so knock yourself out. I wouldn't give you a seventh-round draft pick for Kaepernick. I'd make you cut him, and then I'd sign him. So any GM that wants to keep his job won't trade for Colin Kaepernick. Chip Kelly's not trading for Colin Kaepernick. He's not doing it. He's not doing it.
And I think I was, you know, maybe it wasn't so, you know, evident. I think he won't get traded for, as in, you know, give me Colin Kaepernick for this and this and this. I honestly think San Francisco has a deal in place with Anquan, maybe a Torrey, and they're going to couple Colin there on the back end, like, hey, take him with you, and whatever you're already giving us, give it to him. I think he's more or less going to get coupled into a deal with a player or two. I don't think it's going to be Philly saying we outright want Colin. I really do think Philly goes and tries to get a player or two, and Colin's thrown in on the back end. Like you said, I don't think they're going to go out there and trade for him. I just think he's thrown in a mixed deal. Because if San Francisco knows or can do anything right, you couple the players you do have that are worth anything, even throw in a Colin, you can get a seventh round, especially from a team that has a bunch of them. And then it may not be Philly, but I really do think that the smart thing to do with San Fran, if they do the smart thing, would be to couple these players together, get multiple draft picks. You're going to have high first, second, third round draft picks anyway because of the record you're going to have this year. You can grow on that and you can build a team. You're talking about a team that, you know, just threw everything away with a Tom Sula. If he is that man or isn't, you can still start afresh with this draft. And you can have young players there still now that are getting this experience coupled with a draft or two of young, talented, high draft picks. That's what I'm getting at there with trading for Colin. I don't think there's a team out there, like you said, that'll purposely go out there and trade for him. But I think if you couple him with a player or two or a couple draft picks,
for someone that San Fran might want, I think you can get away with it that way. But you are totally correct on that. I don't think a team out there is going to trade for him. The numbers just don't allow that, whether it be his paycheck or the on-the-field numbers.
Okay, well, we are at the tail end of the show. We're going a little overtime right now. I had another topic, but I'm going to save it for tomorrow because we got a new show here. The tailgate is back, so we'll be talking college football and college basketball to open you up to next week for college basketball. Me and Slim Jim will be discussing all of that. The question that I wanted to throw around the kitchen, though, is who do you like, LSU or Alabama? That defense or Leonard? That was the question I had. But if you guys want to stop by the kitchen, you can save your pick for tomorrow so we can just have that hype behind tomorrow's show. 11 a.m. Eastern Standard. I'll throw this one around the kitchen, see how you guys feel about it. I'll start with you first, Matthew. Thank you for stopping by the roundtable. Plug, close out,
you
shout out.
You already know who I got, Ty. You already know. Everyone on the panel already knows. You roll with the tide and you make your money. You put 10,000 units on the Alabama Crimson Tide tomorrow. They're going to blow them out.
Chandler.
Yeah.
You know what I do when he does that, right?
Yeah, I know.
I already locked it in, Ty.
Okay.
I already locked it in.
Okay, so he said bet 10,000 on Alabama. Y'all do what y'all want to do. If y'all have been here in Sports City hearing Matt and his percentage, and he's won about 1 or 2 cents. If you know his percentage in Sports City.
I'm all about
City,
Alabama, baby.
Hey,
Alabama Crimson Tide, Nick Saban.
I know which way Ty is swaying. I think Nacho has already made
your
his
boy
suggestion.
Your boy Fournette's getting held under 100. You heard it first here, sir. They're going to shut down Fournette. They got 8 guys as big as that guy. They're going to clobber LSU.
Held under 100. Now, listen, I want you to do this now. Either you could come tomorrow morning, right? But if that game goes down and he gets over 100 and they win, I have to be here Sunday. I have to
he
be
He ain't
here
getting
Sunday.
Near 100. He's not getting close to 100.
Hey, like
you
I said, man,
words.
Most people, listen, people choose
you
to be
You want a real
here,
running
right?
back on the field? You want to know what the name of the runner's name is? Henry, and he plays for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Remember that name, Henry.
And what did Henry do up against Mississippi?
He caught a fluke pass. It was a fluke. Alabama's a lock to give the national title. Remember
that,
where they scored?
That wasn't the only play that beat them.
They lost by exactly that play.
Like I said, if it goes down for Alabama, I want to see you Sunday. If not, green eggs and ham. That's all I'm going to say.
And by the way, don't be so sure the Falcons might lose to San Francisco. Just so you all know. The Falcons are in disarray.
Uh-oh. You're a Falcon. Well, you're a 50% Falcon fan. Jeez. I don't know, Sports City. I don't know.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off Tommy. I didn't mean to cut you off. But.
Yeah, you're rude, but it's okay. Tommy, I need a plug out, shout out before we get up out of the round table.
Sitting here watching my Wizards, and we still can't rebound the ball on defense, play no defense. Can we please go find a big man that wants to play defense and rebound the ball? Please? Jesus Christ. I'm putting it out. My Canes beat Virginia 35-17. The defense will show up for Miami. Virginia, if anybody from the Cavaliers are trying to listen, get ready. Because the Coastal is ours when we're done in Miami. Guaranteed. Book it.
Fair enough. Mr. Silver, I need a plug, close out, shout out as we shut down the round table.
And not on the box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, it's a crazy show. The LSU-Alabama game. You know, a lot of talk has been about Fournette. You know, I won't scream it as Matthew did, but Derrick Henry is a running back as well. A big guy that can bulldoze, and that LSU defense can be run through. So that's going to be an interesting matchup to go through. I am picking LSU to win the game. I think Leonard Fournette and the other two running backs they have are going to be too much for Alabama.
You guys are crazy.
So I mean, it's only me talking, Matt. There's not multiple guys. I understand you're probably not all there right now. So there's only one person talking, not guys. But
no, I'm here. I've had four beers. That's it.
You know, but the thing is, I really think LSU gets the victory in Tuscaloosa. We'll see what happens there. But I do have LSU in that. You know, with the college football coming up tomorrow, we got a lot to talk about. Who's being left out? Who's not? Why TCU and Baylor are so low? And what Baylor's going to do with that new quarterback still winning, not being able to put up 60, but only putting up, I think, was it 31 or 24? Yeah, 31-24 was ending score.
Against the bad Kansas State team.
Putting up, you know, 30 points and still winning the game. Are they going to be able to do that against the TCU team? Is that Baylor defense who's been helping them hold teams to get 21 plus point victories all year? The closest victory all year was last night, 7 point victory. So, you know, we'll see what Baylor's got there. And Baylor has, if I'm not mistaken, 3 undefeateds, or is it 2 undefeateds and 1 loss team in both Oklahoma State and TCU. So we'll see what Baylor's made of, and we'll see what a lot of this top 25 is made of, because if I'm not mistaken, only 3 don't play another top 25 opponent, and some of them play multiple top 25 opponents. So as much as we were talking about who gets in and who not get in, a lot of this might clear itself up in the next couple of weeks. So it's going to be interesting. I'm just really excited to see that, you know, the voters knew what they were doing with Ohio State.
Hey, Nacho Cheese.
Yeah.
You think that either Bama or LSU would lose to Baylor?
Yes.
On a neutral site, I think it would be a tough catch. The problem is that new quarterback, if that new quarterback doesn't have he won a game. Winning's garbage,
dude.
I mean,
you know how good Alabama is?
I'm sure you bet against them and lost. That's why. Do I know anything? Yes, I know the past.
If you bet against Baylor, you made money. Baylor covered. They were 17-point favorites. They almost lost the game. They're lucky that Kansas State didn't punch it in the last time.
You know,
Baylor,
I remember a Big Ten running back in Ezekiel Elliott rushing for, I believe, almost 200 yards, if not over 200 yards, on that vaunted Nick Saban defense you've been, you know, patting and raving over. So I don't understand. That was technically, I mean, it was this year in the 2015 calendar year. But still, I don't understand what you're talking about.
And before that, how many titles in a row did the SEC win? Before that year, how many in a row? Probably about 8.
Yeah.
I rest my case. I win again.
Okay.
Oh, please. I'm so sick and tired of everybody talking about the SEC. They're overhyped like every damn year. I'm tired of it.
The SEC is the only conference that plays like men. That is physical.
Ooh, yeah.
And grinds.
Okay.
And blocks. And puts you on the ground. You don't have a chance to scare. None of these teams y'all are talking about have a chance against Alabama. Just remember that.
So wait a minute. So Kentucky plays football like that?
Right.
Kentucky
football like
that. They have a coach. Hold on. Yes or no answers, because I got to get the challenge. Does Kentucky play football like that? Does Tennessee play football like that?
Yeah, right.
Does Vanderbilt just lost?
Hold on. I'm cooking now. I'm cooking. Hold on. Does Auburn play football like that?
They're having trouble this year. When Bama wins, I mean, what do I have to – you guys are going to have to start listening to me if Bama wins. Bama's not losing to LSU. The only way they lose is Les Miles pulls some magic out of his hat.
Okay, and like I said, Les Miles and those Tigers win. Please do not avoid Sports City. Please don't have me go looking
for – I'm so confident in Alabama. If I was in Vegas, I would probably put my car note, my house, you know, whatever that one guy said is 401K. Bama's not going to lose at home. They lose enough times to LSU at home in the past. They're not losing this year.
Wait. They didn't lose at home? They didn't lose at home. Who did they lose their one game to, and where was that game being played at?
They lost to Ole Miss, whatever you want to call them. It was a fluke.
Yeah, where was it? Where did they play?
They played in T-Town in Tuscaloosa, you know, where the white
okay,
players
were. Okay, no further questions, Your Honor. No further questions, Your Honor. Chandler, I need a plug, close-out, shout-out as we shut down the round table. That's how you keep Matthew quiet. That's what I do. I keep people in Georgia quiet from Connecticut. That's how I do this. Your turn.
I just know I have never in my life met an Auburn fan who ever rooted for Alabama. I don't care what else is going on in the world. If you told a true Auburn fan that their family would be killed unless they rooted for Alabama, they would go and kiss their wives and kids and say, I'm sorry, I love you, but I ain't doing it. Okay? So, that's all I'm going to say about that. All right? That's all I'm going to say about that. But, you know what? Here's my closeout for the night. You know, all of these ESPN and Fox Sports and CNN and all these female sports writers who all talking about Greg Hardy and got all this to say, right? And none of you ever want to take a stand. And now the photos are out, but why you needed the photos, I don't know. But since you apparently needed them, if any of them don't, actually, if all of them don't go to their respective bosses and say, you know what, I'm not covering that team, I'm not interviewing anybody on that team, I'm not doing sideline reports for that team as long as Greg Hardy is on that team, then I don't want to hear any of you say another word about anything. Because none of you are willing to take a stand. None of you. None of you. And that's a damn shame. I get you might want to keep your job. There are some things bigger than your job. The hell with Greg Hardy. This is about the Cowboys and NFL, and NFL will once a year socks out some pink uniforms so they can make money and claims they give a damn about women. Okay? This is the NFL that has a woman executive who thought it was okay for Greg Hardy to still play football. So to all of you, Jamel Hills, the Hannah Storms, all of you, if you don't take a stand right now, then shut up. I don't want nothing else from any of you. Not another word. Because it's a damn shame that I'm more outraged about this than you are. That's a damn shame. Other than that, a lot of fun tonight, man. Listen, people, if you happen to enjoy the betting sport or the sport of betting, wagering, games of chance, that sort of thing, please don't listen to Matt. Please don't bet your money. If that's all the money you got, don't bet it. Because you're going to lose that money.
You're changing your profile to an elephant, if I'm right.
Hey, Matt, I'll interrupt you when you talk, man.
All right.
You said what you had to say, you fake-ass Auburn fan, all right?
Exactly. Yes.
And for those of you who bet, think about that. This is a supposed Auburn fan keeping up for Alabama. What does that tell you?
Sam, you forgot to spice that dish up. He's also a Georgia Tech fan, just to keep it 100.
The Ram and the Georgia Tech, a hell of an engineer.
Look, he even knows the song. Look, this is terrible. Okay. Swift City, like I said, I hope I get y'all here tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard, me, Slim Jim. Hopefully I get these guys in here to the premiere show or the tailgate back once again. I'll be talking about the Georgetown Warriors. That's right, and I'll be talking about my Miami Hurricanes. I feel good that I get to talk about my boys. No, but I'm happy my boys will be playing next week on the 14th, Hoyer basketball. I can't wait to see how we look out there. John Thompson III. I done seen all of my coaches get fired this past calendar year. If my boys will come out playing ball, you're next. I'm not playing around,
hey,
even though I know they love your father. I know they love your father. Why can't I
tell
do my clothes out?
Whoa,
why can't I do my clothes out, man? Like, why do you always got to be that
because
dude?
Tell a friend that Bama's going to win. All right, now you do yours.
Now, Sports City. Now, this is what I'm going to tell y'all, Sports City. If Alabama loses that game, right, I bet y'all, I bet this in Vegas, I bet you Matt don't come Sunday morning. I bet that. I bet that.
I'll tell y'all what. I will make it.
You're done. You know what?
I will jump off the hotel's roof.
Here we go. Boom, I have to hit you. Now, Sports City, like, I'm going to say it like this. I bet you he don't come here. Because I've watched a lot of people do this to me now. I watch them do this now. They talk a whole bunch of stuff. They tough on air. No time. We going to do this, that, and the third. Back-to-back MVPs, number 12, this, and this, that, and the third. Dude, back out of the kitchen. But I'm right here, regardless of the situation. I'm right here. I don't back around for nothing. And Matthew know he be backing out of the kitchen. This is what they do. They know that I cook. I don't play these games. So, listen, like I said, 11 a.m., pre-match show, we're going to kick it off. Hopefully, y'all get a good feel when we're talking college football and college basketball. We're bringing both together. I'm not playing around no more. Y'all better thank Nostradamus for this. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. On that note, tell a friend that this is the chefs again. And if they don't know, Matthew has three freaking teams in college football. Oh.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now, block, kids, who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on Coltrane. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow, and then, of course, Walters. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch, Mama Walters. Should have you believe black invented crack. When President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy. Yes, the double cross. Remember, that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one arm pets. Nixon bombs, pure tech. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demerol for cess. No dough, crack and veils much less. White, he can sell on the corners of Bushwick. White, he can sell on the corners of Flatbush. White, he can sell on the corners of Bed-Stuy. Pass the torch to that nigga guy. So just die, nigga, die, nigga. You're too black, you can't handle, you're too strong, get high. 5 o'clock, next boost your steel. In 95, we take back Emmett Field.
Let's take a second, think back, think back. Think
Brooklyn,
back.